When we both met last fall, we had zero cares at all. It was la 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 la, alright. Then you left me this spring. Grabbed your clothes and packed your things. It was na 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 na. Hey hey, goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 62 of The Locker Room, brought to you by our friends at Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, so make your testies their besties and get 20% off plus free shipping with code LOCKA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use our code LOCKA. I promise you, your balls will thank you. We have an awesome episode today with two of our new family members, I guess, Jake and Drew Marsh. They're awesome dudes. Drew is with LSU football and Jake's with Barstool Sports. I don't want to give anything away from the interview. I know we got a lot to talk about, but what's up, fellas? Cappy, Maxie, how you doing? Maxie, you sleeping on us?
I'm good. I'm good. Looks like Maxie got a little tan earlier, though, from a little golf outing. I saw that stroke on the Snapchat. I don't know. When I was FaceTiming you guys a couple days ago, did you guys watch my stroke on the golf course?
It was terrible.
I didn't see it, no.
Oh, well, fuck, it was terrible. That's why I wanted you guys to see it, but yours looks pure. But that's what I did want to talk to you guys about. I know we were going to talk a little about your guys' golf outing today, but I do want to give Max some credit because, like, I know Max was saying, like, oh, would I score, like, goal on you if I scored, like, 500 shots? And, like, yeah, hockey's hard and all, but, dude, I could just not figure out this whole golf thing.
Well, neither could he.
No one can. That's golf, man.
Max's first shot today was, like, literally 10 feet.
Was it?
Yours was also like 3 feet.
Well, I don't play golf. What was the quote that you had? It was like, it's like teaching someone who's never played basketball to play basketball again. And I was like, that's just not true. You played this.
No. I was trying to explain, like, I haven't played since before the winter. So it was like my first time out swinging a club. And I said, by hole five, I'll start getting it back. And hey, by hole four, I got it. I started getting it back. I was smacking the ball.
What a beautiful day, though, man. It was like 60 degrees today in New York. It was awesome. I finally felt like a glimmer of hope around here, you know?
Yeah, you guys were saying you walked 11 holes, huh? Fuck, dude, a little cardio action. Not too bad. We'll take it.
Oh, my God. It was terrible, man.
That's why Max is so tired.
No, seriously. That's why he napped. He walked up the eighth hole, and he was like out of breath.
Dude, I was like, we are fucking done after nine. He wanted to keep playing, and the back nine's even more hilly. And I'm like, no fucking shot, man.
To be fair, I stopped hitting the ball. I'm like hole six. I was just walking with Max, talking to him.
So when I was playing with my couple of my teammates, or our whole team, I should say. Thank God I was partnered up with one of my good friends, Phil Ballou, because he's an absolute stud and I'm trash. So we were playing best ball, and I basically stopped hitting by hole 12. But I do have a lot of good friends that are good golfers as well who don't play hockey. And every time I go out with them, I'm always like, all right, just watch my form, critique my stroke, let me know what I'm doing wrong. And every single one of them say the same thing, like, oh, I can't teach you anything. It's all about repetition, like, which now I realize is true because everybody has like their own form. Like nobody shoots the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that accurate, Max?
Yeah. I mean, you just got to play a lot. Although I do have a friend that plays a lot and still sucks. So.
I went to Topgolf with Ellie this summer, and she was literally picking the ball up and hitting it, like no practice swing. And I was like, no wonder you're not hitting the ball. You have to take a practice swing. And she goes, but my swings are practice. And I was like, no. Then you're just, every ball is going to do that. It was so funny. I was trying to explain to her the whole practice swing thing. And she literally just picked the ball up, put it on the tee and swing, and it would go 5 feet.
I would pay money to see that.
But swings are practice.
It was supposed to be a nice date, and it turned into a miserable experience.
it's like that meme from Family Guy. It's supposed to be fun, all right?
Golfing. Yeah.
Oh, dude, the amount of TikToks people make with the boyfriend and the girlfriend, and it's like, but when it's like you hit it in the water, it's like you're not supposed to hit it in the water or something like that. And it's like, I know.
I love that scene.
Fun, all right?
Fun. That's a good one.
But I do want to talk about my favorite artist, Quinn92, new album. Cappy, I know you don't. How do you not know him? I post him like I post every time this guy puts something on social media. I repost it, retweet it, whatever it is. My friends shit on me all the time for it.
I know. Yeah, we were talking about this before. Yeah, never seen him, never known him. I've seen you post shit about him. I just really haven't like listened to his stuff, which is kind of surprising because of the amount of music I listen to, like pregame and stuff like that. But I'm going to listen to him now, because if I don't, I will regret it, according to you.
They'll be hell to pay.
Yeah, dude. The crazy thing is the album hit one on the charts. It's not, I think it's at two right now. Just a quick shout out, Harrison Remler, fellow tribe member. Mazel tov, my friend. You've been crushing it. This is a big one. From Logic to now Quinn, he's got a bunch in the pipeline. You know who he's like? He's like the Greg Popovich of music.
For our listeners and co-host who don't know who Quinn is he like a New Yorker boy?
No, he's from Michigan, but I've been listening to him for like 5 years. So that's like the point I wanted to make was it's so cool. I feel like the first time basically in history that like fans can grow with their artists. You know what I mean? Like when Eminem and John Mayer and all those guys were coming up, like there was no social media for their fans to like interact with them. Like Quinn, I've been following on Twitter and Instagram since he basically started. So I've always like DM'd him and messaged him like, dude, I love your songs. Like, this is awesome. This album's great. And he's been like interacted with me. So it's so cool to like actually feel that you can grow with an artist that you love. Like I grew up idolizing Bruce Springsteen and John Mayer, but like I never had any interaction with them. I was never able to. So now like the guys that I love, like Little Dicky and Quinn 92, that I'm able to like literally get retweeted by them or even just have them comment on something that I post. I think that's such a cool thing that no one really ever gets to experience, or not until now.
Laz, you follow music a lot more than I do. And Cappy, I don't know how
musically sound music. I was going to say musically well-rounded.
But how many musicians after they post an album really describe what they wrote about and what everything means? Because I thought that was really cool what Quinn's doing afterwards.
I feel like more so they do it now than ever before, just because, like I said, they are able to like do Instagram lives or
right. I'm saying, you know, like stuff like that. Now.
Well, one thing I'm thinking of, and I haven't seen it like as much, but like the old Kanye West, and I was talking about this, I think previously, maybe in a couple episodes, how like the old Kanye West, like just his old songs, like 808s and Heartbreak was so good. And during 808s and Heartbreak, there was actually it was called VH1 Storytellers. And Kanye West did this whole thing, live performance, where he would perform the song and then literally discuss like with like a live crowd, like literally all about the lyrics, everything like that. It was so cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I think Jake Miller actually does that too, which is cool. Jake does like the fan club
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
fan which interaction. Is really cool.
Cappy follows music closely. I can
no,
tell.
He does. He does. Cappy's actually very musically knowledgeable.
There we go. Well-rounded.
Yes, well-rounded. But he's into like his EDM bullshit.
No. Okay, that was back in the witchy days, dude. That was okay. Just, that's like
pre-game. It's changed?
I know. I have a variety. There's a variety of music for every time, dude. I like everything. Rap, hip-hop, R&B, alternative rock, country. It's just like, I feel like there's a setting for each music, for each like music. I don't know.
Who's your favorite right now?
Like favorite, like genre?
Artist? Yeah, artist.
Dude, I'm just like so, I listen to just so like a lot of old, not old school stuff, but I just have a bunch of stuff that's on my playlist that, I mean, like I was like a Pop Smoke era for a little bit. And then EDM, just like, I love all the old shit that I used to listen to. You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw, but Myers Leonard dropped a anti-Semitic slur on his Twitch stream. I actually never liked Myers Leonard. And the reason why is, I thought, here's a guy, and it started from the NBA bubble because the guy never played and he was always like celebrating and acting like he was a huge part of the team, which is fine. But like there was something about him I didn't like. Obviously, this doesn't sit well when he said it, but I do have a problem with cancel culture because I don't think anything's done with it. I think that rather than, you know, fire, like I guess cutting him and banning him from the NBA, I feel like there's got to be like more of an educational aspect behind it as to, okay, here's why you shouldn't be saying it, so that people can understand, rather than just being like, you're done, cancel culture is coming in, you're out of a job, your life's ruined, can't make any money now. So I mean, that's how I feel. I don't like him. I didn't like him prior. I pretty much hate him.
Let's make that clear.
That's how I feel about the whole situation. I don't know how you guys feel if you guys saw it.
I actually agree with what you said about cancel culture and everything, but I do, I mean, I also don't really like follow Myers Leonard. Like I don't really like, he's kind of irrelevant to me, honestly, unless I bet on the Miami exactly. Heat and he's in the game. But like something that someone DM'd us, I'm not gonna say a name, but someone replied that why are celebrities and athletes held to a different standard when these kinds of things happen? And I thought that was interesting, but just because people do put celebrities and athletes on a pedestal, but if Myers Leonard works for like an accounting firm and he says that in an accounting meeting or something, or that gets out, he's probably going to get fired too. Like everything's a job. Yeah. You can't say those kinds of things like in any job. And let alone if you're making $9 million a year to play a sport, you're going to be held to a higher standard. And look what happened to Antonio Brown. He said something anti-Semitic this summer, but then like spoke to a Holocaust survivor, didn't he? Like
Deshaun Jackson.
Didn't Antonio Brown say something?
I'm sure he did, but I don't think it was anti-Semitic.
Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah.
Well, he was, you know, he spoke to a Holocaust survivor and learned about it. But yeah, like there's people attacking Myers Leonard right now, like because I think he also was one of the guys who stood during the national anthem when everyone else kneeled. Listen, and I don't agree with that either. I'm just saying, like, don't ruin the guy's career over this mess up when like everyone has probably said some kind of slur in their life. I mean, yeah, when you're an athlete, you should know better, or everyone should know better. But
here's the thing, as society. If people step up and say, hey, here's the way we should be handling situations like this, then someone saying something like that in an accounting meeting, maybe there's a different way of handling it. If he gets cut, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I feel like there should be a different way of handling situations like this rather than just cutting him. Or even if they do cut him, give him, educate him and like let that also be part of the whole
process.
I don't know how to really work put it together, but let that be like
the transition process, kind of, not transition, but
I would say process works.
I don't want to dive too much into the situation. Obviously, I think you guys kind of hit it on the head. I definitely agree with both of your guys' standpoints. But at the same time, like athletes and these professional people, actors, whatever, like they know they're held to a higher standard. Like, you know, you're streaming on Twitch. Like you, like at the same time, you know, better, like do better. Besides that, I don't need to dive into it too much more. I do though want to talk about our lovely sponsor, Bagel Boss, who we love to talk about every podcast, from Long Island, family owned business. They are amazing. Everything you guys need, Bialy's, bagels, delicacies. They basically got everything, kosher foods, gluten, everything. Follow them at bagelofthemonth.com. That's bagelofthemonth.com. And please use our code LACA for 10% off.
Before we do get into Oyvey, Myers Leonard did post an apology. So if anyone wants to check out his Instagram.
I don't give a shit about Myers
Leonard. We know where Max stands. But yes, let's get into a little Oyvey action. I will start. Holy cow. I hope my coach isn't listening, but I did dive into a little In-N-Out burger the other night, and it was actually the first time I've had it since I've been down here because Cappy has been on his grind. He's been eating well, but I did cheat last night. I have been, dude. But I did cheat last night on a little In-N-Out, and I don't know what the hype is about. I don't know if it's because this In-N-Out was in Texas and it wasn't in California. I don't know if that's the hotbed. It's got to be in Cali, but I mean, I just give me a plain cheeseburger from McDonald's, and their fries at McDonald's are 1,000 times better than the fries at In-N-Out Burger. I don't know about you guys. I'm pretty sure, Laz, you had to have had it when you were in California before, but talk to me about this. What do you guys think?
I mean, the last time I had In-N-Out Burger, it was like 98 degrees out, and I had a hot burger outside in California, and like I was like profusely sweating eating it. I don't love In-N-Out. Like, I like it, but I think out of all those like burger chains, yeah, McDonald's is great. I actually get the McChicken. I don't even really get a burger, but Shake Shack, hands down, the best burger as far as like those categories go.
Yes, but I would not categorize.
You wouldn't count that?
Shack in, no, I'm thinking McDonald's, Wendy's, like In-N-Out, like Racing Cane's, Whataburger, shit like that. I would categorize Shake Shack in the Five Guys.
Oh, that's a different tier. That's a different tier.
So, yes, yeah, I'm tier. Okay. So here's why I disagree. Price point. In-N-Out's pretty expensive.
Is it? I don't remember. Oh, I guess, well, the dollar menu at McDonald's, yeah. Like McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King have
right.
those.
I don't know, the meal prices are pretty similar. They're not off by too much. I was just categorizing that as, I think Five Guys and Shake Shack and those places are more, they're more authentic. They're cooking their burgers fresh. Like, guaranteed they're cooking their burgers fresh.
I still think it's considered fast food for sure.
Yeah, fast food, but McDonald's and them is faster food.
That was good. That's good defense.
Thanks. What do you guys got, though, for your Oyvays this week?
I'm going to stick to March Madness. Last year, we were deprived of the greatest 2 days in all of sports, and we have them coming back. We got Selection Sunday this Sunday, and I'm pretty stoked for it, and I'm very happy.
Even though your Duke boys won't be playing, probably.
I would be shocked. I'd be shocked if they were.
I feel shocked.
Where's that?
Some dodgeball.
Yes, I love.
Actually, fun fact: Pepper Brooks was my Twitter name in high school.
Loki, one of the most underrated. What would you call him? Just performances in a comedy.
Oh, broadcaster.
I don't think it's underrated. Oh, I guess it's people read it's like Jason Bateman.
Yeah, exactly.
That is underrated, actually.
Needs new shorts.
I don't know the other guy's act like his real name, but I know he's like Andrew Klein and Entourage. He's Ricky Bobby's dad, and yeah, he's in a lot of shit. He's a guy that like everyone recognized, but like no one knows his name.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. Was like, let's get going to Pepper Rooks. Pep, and you're just like, yep, there's four teams, and then that means three teams are gonna get through with that one team in the final spot.
Cotton.
See.
It's not gonna be able to see very well. I'm gonna stick in the sports realm for mine. I mean, I tweeted about it like already a couple times, but ESPN signing a 7-year rights deal with the NHL, that's huge. I mean, I say it all the time. I think the worst thing that could have happened to hockey and its popularity was leaving ESPN, I think, in like 2006. I'm not sure exactly what year it was, but I mean, dude, listening to that ESPN NHL like opening song gets me so hyped. And like Gary Thorne and Bill Clement, like that's what we grew up on, man. Like that is what made me fall in love with hockey, was those guys in ESPN. And like the fact that I can turn on channel 36 and honestly just watch hockey and ESPN again is going to be such an amazing feeling. I mean, no shot at NBC or Versus. Those guys have been awesome through these years. But if we want hockey to be as popular as it can be, it's got to be on ESPN. It has to be.
I think you said it very well. I agree with you. I'm pretty excited as well. I'm actually very, very excited. Sticking with the hockey theme, before we kick into the interview, I want to give a big rest in peace to Walter Gretzky. He passed away, I think, this past week. I actually met him when I was 8 years old at a roller hockey tournament. It was crazy. My dad like randomly spotted him out. He was kind of young back, not young back then, but he looks very similar to Wayne, obviously. And went over there thinking it was like an older Wayne Gretzky, and it was Walter. And I don't remember much of the conversation. I was really young, but just crazy. Just
why was he there?
Honestly, that's the thing. I got to talk to my dad and find out more details. But yeah, I met him at a roller hockey tournament when I was 8 years old. I'll find out more details for all the listeners that are interested. But a big rest in peace to Walter Gretzky. Man, he changed a lot in hockey. Hockey might not be the same if he wasn't a part of it, for sure.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But besides that, we really hope you enjoy the interview with Jake and Drew. I think we should kick it over.
Let's do it. So we got our first ever recurring guest, Jake Marsh from Barstool Sports, and we're super excited to have another member from the Marsh clan. Drew was bar mitzvah at Temple Door Dream, just like Jake, and is currently the manager of the athletic video for LSU football. We want to welcome back Jake and welcome to the Locker Room Podcast for the very first time, Drew Marsh. So happy to have the Marsh brothers. What's up, boys?
Thank you for having me. Thanks for having us. This is awesome.
I do want to get right into it, because I know there's been some stuff on Twitter, and I like quote tweeted the other day from the podcast account about the cursing thing. And I know it's kind of a known thing that Jake doesn't really curse, but is this like an upbringing in the Marsh family household that you guys don't curse, or is that just you, Jake?
I curse a lot.
It's not on the recording.
In a professional setting.
Well, what's your background, Drew? Do you not curse at all? What's the deal?
No, I can back that up for sure, that Jake does curse. Just obviously in certain situations he doesn't, but I kind of take the Gary Vee approach. I don't really, I curse all the time.
Speaking of that, I feel like, I mean, I have an older brother, obviously. So it's kind of cool seeing you guys both on here. Let's get right into it. There's got to be rivalry growing up. I mean, I dominated my brother from day one. He's 4 years older than me. I shit on him in every sport from the time I could walk. So, I mean, come on, give me something.
He's never beaten me in an athletic competition.
That's not true. It's actually Jake.
Unless you count like Mario Kart.
Okay, no, I beat you once in ping pong over quarantine when we were getting you ready.
Yeah, and I was like, because I was lobbing things up every single point.
Yeah, you were doing your little meatballs every now and then, but not the whole game. I beat you. It has always been competitive. There has literally been blood. There has literally been tears on so many different occasions growing up.
There was actually he gave him stitches once.
Yeah, he gave me stitches once with a wooden baseball bat. Unintentional.
Everybody's had that scenario.
In our playroom at home, we saw the basketball court that we made in there. We played tennis in there. We had like a mini tennis net. We played baseball. We would put pillows down on the ground and play baseball. And we were playing against each other. I don't even remember exactly how it happened, but we were just playing baseball. And sooner or later, I just got whacked in the head by one of those wooden mini souvenir baseball bats. Yeah, let's just say it left a little mark for some time.
Well, I was going to say, you sent us pictures of your basement. Well, not basement. I know I messed up that before. There's no basements in Florida.
New Yorker over here.
Yeah, New Yorker. But you sent a picture of the like little court you guys made. You had your own little March Madness. I know we got March Madness coming up right around the corner. Can you guys explain like what that whole situation was? Like, did you have your own bracket? Like, your friends come over and play? How'd that work?
No, we had a hoop, a real size hoop on the wall. And then we had a carpet and we duct taped a court. And we would just play one point, like one-on-one. And then we'd simulate the bracket after it came out.
No way.
All while having one shining moment playing in the background, plugged into some speakers. Yeah, to get the vibes going.
Wait, so you're telling me you guys would like pick teams like out of the teams that would like that were in the March Madness, like after the game?
Yeah, so like I would be Gonzaga. Like if it was a 116 game, I'm Gonzaga, you're Morehead State. And then whoever scores the point first, they move on. And we do the whole bracket.
Is it ever accurate?
No,
absolutely. Yeah, not. One year they just guessed it all. They guessed it all right.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of you guys have obviously heard of like mini sticks, like mini hockey. That kind of
we do that too.
Yeah, it reminds me of your setup. That'd be unreal.
We played almost every sport in there you could think of: tennis, soccer,
baseball,
hockey,
indoor baseball.
Almost broke that chandelier.
I'm honestly so happy though that March Madness is coming back, just because, dude, I know you guys are probably the same way as me, like watching YouTube highlight videos of like March Madness best moments. You just said you had one shining moment in the background. I've been watching the 2019 like NCAA tournament best moments probably for 2 years straight now, like when I'm on my YouTube late at night kind of, you know, vibe. But I mean, I kind of just want to get into like March Madness predictions while we're on the topic. Who do you guys have in your final four?
I mean, it depends how the draw breaks, because it's all about matchups and like luck, because if one team is upset, it opens the door for another. But the four best teams right now are definitely Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, Illinois. I don't remember a year where all the one seeds were basically set in stone before the tournaments even started, but this year it seems like that'll be the case. And Gonzaga is definitely the heavy favorite, the undefeated team left.
Basically what Jake said, as far as like, I don't know, those top one seeds are I feel like this is going to be a year where they could all potentially make it into the Final Four. A little salty being a member of the Big Ten, seeing the Hoosiers. I do think Iowa could make a little bit of a run, but at the same time, Hoosiers took them down twice. So who knows? But no, I gotta agree with Jake on that one.
Jake, while we're on the topic of basketball, I know last time we had you on, Jake, you weren't with Bench Mobs. Bench Mobs wasn't a thing that I know was in talks. You were just with Part of My Take, doing stuff there. And first off, congratulations. It's been so unreal so far. How is it like taking more of a lead role on Bench Mobs compared to, I guess, the role that you are with on Part of My Take, and dealing with those two psychopaths that you have to work with on Bench Mobs daily?
They are certainly psychopaths, and I tell them both that every day. So yeah, it's definitely different, because Part of My Take, it's like, to put it in basketball terms, and Part of My Take, I'm a role player, right? I'm never taking the last shot, never dribbling the ball up the court. I'm just making a pass or setting a screen here and there. For Bench Mob, I am one of the main guys, so it's obviously different. It's a lot more work, a lot more prep. Even though the podcast is only twice a week, I'm taking notes every single day for 5 straight months on games that happen, because you got to stay refreshed with what's happening in the college basketball world. So yeah, we're pretty much at the finish line now. In 4 weeks, it'll definitely be a nice little break, but it's going to be bittersweet for sure.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So, like, what happens when college basketball over? You guys are just you just pause the pod for a little bit, continue on, and just
keep I think we're gonna do it year round, but only cut it to once a week, because the college basketball offseason, there's like coaching moves, maybe some recruiting, but nothing serious. But then the summer will be a little lighter, and then once football starts again, that's when I'm busiest with PMT. So That's how the schedule usually goes.
Of course. And to be honest, you probably have a better luck getting specific. I mean, not better luck, I should say, because you guys are a pretty popular podcast, I must say. But I mean, obviously during the off season, guys are more flexible to come on the show and whatnot. So it's kind of easier to get those guys.
Yeah, definitely. And next year, hopefully, most likely, definitely we'll be able to travel to some games and get like real experiences in. Because right now, every single interview has been via Zoom. So some of the relationships we've made this year, keep in touch with them. Maybe they'll invite us. Ideally, they would invite us to a game next season. That would take it to a whole next level, I think.
And Drew, what's your offseason been like? I know, obviously, I saw LSU posted some cool workout highlights the other day that you filmed, but your day-to-day must be a little more chill now that the season's not going on.
Yeah, definitely. It's been super low-key. We just started spring ball last week, so we do 2 weeks of these workouts for 3 days a week called the fourth quarter. Down to the nitty-gritty workouts, you got guys looking like they jumped out of a swimming pool, working their asses off. And then starting next week, we'll start spring practices. So you're starting to feel it again in the building, like football starting back up and everything. So just kind of the road to the summer, fall camp, and then back in full swing.
That specific Joe Burrow video of him like coming out of, what do you guys call it there? What's it called? Like
out of your stadium.
Yeah. Oh, just the tunnel? I don't know if they have like a cool like, isn't it Death Valley or whatever?
Yeah, Death Valley. It's just like, you know, it's the locker room leading the tunnel leading out to the one bar and into the stadium.
Not the locker room.
Not the locker room. But
was that you that recorded that like filmed that video?
I actually wasn't here then. I just got here this past summer. I was still in school when that all happened. But I did have a little bit of a connection to LSU while I was in school. So that's kind of how I ended up here.
I know people can't see you right now, but you look like you're in portrait mode on Zoom. But yeah. I mean, as far as like the filming goes, we've seen like 4K in the NFL, which is so sick. It looks like a video game. I kind of want to take a more inappropriate approach here. But you know how people have like those virtual reality goggles to, like watch porn?
Yeah.
You don't own them, first of all?
I don't own them. But
those goggles are not just for porn.
Yeah. No, I honestly have yet to experience any like, you know, watching any sports in them. I've played some games with them, but I think it could be the future for sure. I mean, who knows what could happen. I think it's definitely something to keep your eye on because it's already leading the way for like gaming and everything and viewing. So we'll kind of see what happens, but there's definitely like an avenue there.
There's no way you're telling me in 2 years that like it's going to be like when I'm seeing a 3D movie, when I got to walk in the movie theater and they're going to give me these glasses, like every stadium I'm going to walk into now, they're going to be like,
No, why would you wear them at the stadium? No, I'm saying at home on the couch, you can throw them on and like pretend you're courtside.
Oh, okay. See, I'm thinking.
I think maybe even in 10, 15 years, who knows? Like I always think back, like I love Back to the Future and I always relate things back to like what they kind of predicted. And sitting at the dinner table, they had these goggles come down while they were all having dinner, which was pretty much a VR headset. And I think you're going to be sitting on the couch with your family sometime in the future, not even looking at a TV. You're just all going to have your own goggles on, like watching whatever you're watching on there. And like, it'd be all immersive like that, but we'll see what happens.
That'd be such a sad world though.
Yeah, it would be.
I don't know why this is what I thought of, but it reminded me of that scene in like Anger Management when the guy with the Sixers shit on is like listening to the game with like out on, you're like, dunk that shit. I just imagine like my family at like the dinner table with the goggles on. My dad's like watching a Knick game while we're eating, screaming about fucking Obi Toppin or something.
Yeah. No, it's definitely interesting. It's something to look out for. But I do agree with you that it kind of would be kind of sad. Even social media in general is like, I work in social media and I like wish I could delete my social media, but like it's kind of, I kind of can't get away from it. But yeah, I think it's definitely something to look out for.
Oh, yeah, totally. We do have some questions from listeners. We got a lot submitted. You guys have really good friends, really good hype men. Like everyone that submitted for Drew is like, ask him how it feels to be so good looking and cool. Like I was all
wow.
But Cappy, let's have you kick it off here.
Yeah, I'll start us off. So I got a great one for you guys, and your good old cousin Carly Marsh. Reached out to her I reached out to her for the first interview when we had Jake on, and she didn't give me jack shit. So I
damn,
like, give me a little something. Come on. So reached out to her. Her question is, who will be the first out of you two to speak at a Cypress Bay High School graduation ceremony?
We made this bet at my brother's. I'm not gonna say it's not gonna be me.
I think Jake has a very big advantage right now, and don't get me wrong, he's deserved every ounce of it.
Yeah,
but I have to agree. Like the way things are looking, it could easily be him. But I'm not gonna ever give up. You know,
when we made the bet, it was an even playing field.
It was very even playing field. A very even playing field. I was in school doing my thing with IU basketball. He was doing his thing with Syracuse and getting, you know, the gig with Vermont. So it was a pretty even playing field when that first happened. Then all of a sudden, Here he is, Mr. PMT Sports Biz.
I would like to live bet on that, but I need to know the odds first. What are the odds at right now?
Oh, plus 950, Jake? No, I'm just minus 950.
No bias. I mean, first of all, I'm not expecting to get this call or anything. Like, it would be a great honor, but I'm not expecting it.
That'd be hilarious.
But I'd say if one of us was going to, I'd say it's like minus 400 versus like plus 200. I don't know.
Plus 200. That's pretty generous.
Is pretty generous.
I'm being nice too. I could also say minus 1,000 and plus 2,000.
And they'll have us on together like we are right now.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you guys ever talk about doing something together one day?
Maybe, yeah. We haven't really gotten around to it. I mean, there was one cool interaction when part of my take interviewed Coach O. Drew was setting up the interview beforehand, like the technical side.
That's so funny.
So he hopped on before and introduced himself to Big Cat and PFT.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah.
That is also something that was also super crazy just about how, like, worlds collide, I guess, is, like, when I took this job, knowing the relationship that Coach O has with the PMT guys, it was just kind of so crazy. And then that whole interaction, like, that wouldn't have happened if I wasn't here and he wasn't there. It was just pretty crazy. So hopefully in the future when COVID's all over, you know, and hopefully we can get all of those guys out to a game and do something. But, yeah, maybe something will be in the works.
To add on, I know we talked about the ping pong rivalry a little bit in the beginning, but Carly did say the next time you're home, Jake, that there's a mandatory live stream you versus her so she could beat your ass in pong. That she did say that.
I mean, she knows what she's getting into there. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm the best player in the office, but I have the best record in the office right now. And all the matches are well documented on our YouTube page. So anyone can go look at those.
Would you say you've ever let anybody win a ping pong game?
Never. Well, I gave Drew some meatballs to try to beat me, but I didn't let him win.
You didn't win.
I just gave him some easy points.
And that I came out on top.
That brings us to the next question from a listener. Her Instagram is _Mads, M-A-D-D-S-S. I think she's your neighbor just from what you said.
Yeah.
But she wanted to ask, who is your ping pong inspiration, if you have one? I mean, that's like rock bottom when you live bet ping pong.
She wants me to say her dad because we were like known for having great matches back in the day. Mm-hmm. I don't really know of anyone else that comes to mind. Unfortunately, I'm not a big professional ping pong watcher, but I'll take the bait. It's her dad.
What about Randy Daytona from Balls of Fury?
I had no idea that was the guy's name.
Oh, really? Sure. Well, that's a character. That's a character.
Yeah, no, I know. But I remember the movie, of course.
Yeah.
How about the great Khali in Longest Yard?
Love that.
And when he's playing.
What's his name?
That's his wrestling name.
Oh, I didn't even know that. The tall guy. Yeah, I know you're talking about. I didn't even know he had a name in the movie.
I forget his name in the movie. His real name is Dalip Singh, but the giant, he's in WWE and he's playing by himself. And then that's when he committed to the team.
Great scene. This next one is for you, Drew, from Jasper Abrahams. Describe Coach O in one word.
Coach O in one word? It's got to be electric. I mean, I'll be sitting in my office with the door closed. And I can hear him through the walls, just like getting everyone hyped up for practice, like on the way down to the field. Like he's just got energy. And even like in team meetings on Friday nights before games and like just on like he just gives off this motivational energy that like gets me going. Like I'm ready to put a helmet and pads on, even though I'll get absolutely ran over. But it's honestly pretty awesome to be here and be a part of all those moments that like you don't see in the game or on social media or anything. It's just kind of like moments like those are pretty awesome.
Yeah. I've played for a lot of different coaches over the years, just like throughout my hockey career and whatnot. And just like, obviously the guy's all over news. He's all over social media, especially when LSU's successful, but he just seems like one of those guys who's just a typical player's coach, which is something that obviously a player loves and looks for, which is why I think so many successful guys go to LSU consistently because he's that type of guy.
Yeah, something he always says is this is a player-driven program. Everything is for the players. You know, he doesn't want to take any credit. It all goes to them. That's kind of where that one team, one heartbeat mantra comes from. And I'm obviously all bought into it. I love it. It's awesome. It gets me fired up. One cool thing that not a lot of people see too is before every season, there's this massive chain link, and there's five chains. One for, you know, offense, defense, special teams, coaches, and support staff. And the first team meeting, you know, kind of leading into the season after fall camp or before fall camp, every single person in the program comes into the team meeting and signs the chain to kind of sign in your commitment to the season. And that's a big part of the program that he, you know, he leans on, and everyone really, you know, buys into that whole idea too, which is pretty cool.
Can you guys each give us your best Coach O impression?
I knew this was coming back.
I mean, I didn't plan on asking it. It just kind of, it had to come naturally.
I can't do it.
I defer to PFC next door to do it. He doesn't get my horns on.
Yeah.
You can defer. You can defer.
Well, speaking of that, the next question is from Jarek Kuhn, and this one's for Jake. What's the best part about working on PMT?
I'd say just the relationships I have with the guys, because I talk to them every day. Like, we just talk about anything. It's just, it's cool. Like, what you see on, when the cameras are on, really isn't much different to what happens outside of the podcast. So they're like mentors to me, lifelong friends, and they've done so much for me in my career. And I can't thank them enough.
Yeah, we got to thank you again also for doing the Instagram takeover. You crushed it that day. That was
awesome. Oh, yeah. That was fun. I played in Stool Streams too. So
yeah.
Anyone thinks they can beat me, there's documented evidence on your Instagram page too.
Mm-hmm. That was a great day. It's funny too. Speaking of like, well, I guess Stool Streams, but I know you tweet out your like college basketball play like every weekend or whatever. Yeah. I think I've taken your pick like 3 times and all 3 lost. So I'm done.
So
I'm done taking your picks.
They're all 0.0 unit plays for what it's worth. Because I'm not a gambler anymore. Just do it for entertainment. I started 11-4 with those, and then I've won like 1 or 2 since.
Yeah, that's when
I'm like 500
taking them.
Yeah, so it happens.
You think you're not doing as good because you're not betting any money with it?
No, if I bet money, I would lose every single one.
He promotes gambling responsibly. Drew, do you gamble at all or no?
I don't gamble. No, I honestly never really gotten into it. A lot of my friends are, you know, super into it. I never really got into it. Also, I can't even with this job, you know, being a part of the NCAA, you're not allowed to gamble, but never really been interested. Honestly, I just kind of, Jake, remember Sense Sports? Have you guys ever heard of Sense Sports?
What's that?
It was this website. You explain it, Jake.
It was this free gambling website. They give you 10 cents of free money and you can like do parlays, teasers, straight bets, whatever. And if you turn 10 cents into $20, you could cash out.
Did you ever do it?
Real money. I never cashed out. I never got 10 cents to $20. That's hard.
That's
probably unheard of. This last question might be a little bit controversial. I'm just going to assume that you guys know her, but Janie_Marsh wants to know who is your favorite sibling?
I already know my answer, Jake.
Is this a younger sister?
I have an easy way out. It's a younger sister. I have an easy way out to this question. Jake's kind of screwed here.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. I'm just doodling on the side, trying to kill time awkwardly. Everybody is, of course.
Love that.
Is it just the three of you guys?
There's 4 of us.
Oh, 4 of us. The fourth?
And I was going to say, we have a younger brother, Alec.
Oh, wow.
He's actually in Gainesville right now. He goes to Florida. He's a junior.
We're going to get those 2 on next.
Yeah.
We'll have a 2-on-2 battle
royale. Get all of us on there. Yeah.
We talk about dance and virtual reality with them.
We're going no answer here?
Oh, yeah, answer for me.
Mine is.
Drew will say Alec.
No, mine's our dog, Rookie.
Oh, yeah.
The goat. Wow. He's the man.
All right. Well, that's it for the questions from listeners. But I actually have a personal question myself. Who, if I were to visit Jake at Syracuse or Drew at Indiana, who's showing me a better weekend?
Drew, 100%. I barely partied. I focused on broadcasting on Friday nights. I'm staying in on Friday because I have a noon broadcast on a Saturday for women's lacrosse or something, you know? So it was the grind. It was all part. I talked about it on my first appearance on the show about the decision I had to make. It was the social life or the broadcasting life. And I still wouldn't change a thing because it helped get me to where I am today. And I'm still having a blast today.
Drew, I want to ask you, I know you've just got to LSU recently, right? You said this past summer.
Yeah.
Obviously, I know you want to be there for a little bit and keep working with the LSU football team. But do you have any aspirations of like working with any other sports like later down the road? Or would you want to stay in like specifically football?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't thought about it too much just kind of because I kind of had my head down here for a little bit. I love college basketball. I did, you know, I worked with the IU basketball team for 4 seasons, all 4 years I was there. So being in football, this is kind of like my first time in directly working with a college football team. And, you know, I'm considering maybe working for an NBA team too. You know, there's so many different avenues I can take, but I definitely want to stick with either football or basketball, at least within the coming years. But there's nothing like college athletics. There's just such a different type of element to it, because one thing, like, this facility in general is absolutely incredible. And some people say this facility is even better than some NFL facilities that they've seen. And part of that is because of the recruiting aspect. You know, when you're working with a league, it's like all that money is from the owner, right? So like they can put in whatever they want, however they want it. But when you're a school, you want to do everything you can to attract recruits. So all these college programs are putting so much money in from donors and everything to build these awesome facilities and places to work. So that's one aspect of college sports from a working standpoint that I've come to realize just from seeing it and talking to people in the industry, whether working in the NBA or NFL and things like that.
I also want to know, I'm actually curious for Jake too, because you guys have both been on the college athletic sidelines. Like, what's some of the craziest trash talk you guys have heard? I'm assuming there's a shit ton from LSU football just because those guys are so good. probably a little cockier than the Vermont basketball team. I'm just gonna say that. But I mean, you guys have probably heard some really funny stuff, no?
I mean, nothing really sticks out. I mean, our guys are humble. As a mid-major, you're usually playing the underdog role most of the time, for the big games at least. So they embrace that. But in the conference, they really are the alpha, because both years I was there, they won the conference championship. So, I mean, that's the thing, though. That's why they win all these games, is because they stay humble and they don't talk trash. I just focus on winning each game. And I was fortunate. In two full seasons, they lost 3 conference games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So very – or 4. Sorry, 2 each. 4 games in 2 years, which is crazy.
It's funny to think about the trash talking from, like, a different sport basis. Like, let's say, like, how do hockey players trash talk each other compared to how do basketball players trash talk each other? You know what I mean?
Like, yo, you're under 5'9", buddy. You'll never make it in the league. Like, that's basketball. Yeah. Hockey's like –
yeah,
hockey's like, oh, nice teeth, Johnny. You fucking.
Yeah.
That is true. True. What do you got for us?
For me, I mean, it was so different this year, you know, with the capacity in the stadiums. First off, this was my first time getting to really see true SEC stadiums. You know, I've been to the Swamp a couple times when I was younger, but like all these other stadiums, like Auburn, and it was really cool to see it. But the trash talk for me, whenever I'm shooting, whether it's in the end zone or on the baseline of a basketball game, some of these guys are chirping at me.
Really?
They're chirping at the video guy. They're not talking much about coach. They're always chirping at the away team's video guy.
That's hilarious.
I don't know. I don't even remember like specifics, but they'll just be like, hey, video guy. And they want to get you to look. And then they just start kind of like chirping and just like talking shit. Like, bro, I'm not on the field. I'm just recording the game.
I'm dying. I'm thinking about like you getting your parents tickets to come watch, and like the players are just shit talking you the whole time.
So funny. Yeah. I mean, it never happens at home games, obviously, but on the road this year too. I mean, specifically at Auburn, cause they're like the line from where I have to be was so close to the stands behind the goalpost. And this dude was just wearing a cone on his head, obviously drunk college student, just like chirping at me and my student, just chirping at us, like, hey, video guys, like, fuck you doing? I was like, all right.
Wasn't the game at the Swamp this year, like, that sick finish, game, too?
That was an incredible moment. For me, growing up a Gator fan, having family out of Florida, being there for LSU was kind of strange, like, wearing purple and gold. But that was one of the greatest moments of the season, for sure. That game was nuts. Were you guys watching it?
I think I lied about Florida.
Well, sucks for you.
Yeah. That one hurt a little bit. As Jake would tweet out, pain with the period on the end.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, that was an awesome experience. Being back there for the other team was super weird, but what a game. That was awesome.
I do, but I'm so interested. I completely forgot we forgot to ask. Jake, that picture you posted with Biz earlier today, you're going to be on the call for that tournament. Can you talk a little bit about that? That's pretty sick. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and when is this getting released? This week or
Wednesday?
You guys
think? Yeah, Wednesday.
Okay. So, I don't want to spoil too much, but it's going to be. It was the Pink Whitney Cup we filmed today. It was a hockey tournament sponsored by Pink Whitney, which I'm sure you guys have had before.
Are you judging us?
No, that's a great. It's a great drink.
It is a great drink.
I was play-by-play. Biz was caller. Paul Bissonnette, who works for Barstool and the Coyotes, former NHL player, does the Spit and Chicklets podcast. So we broadcasted together. It was four teams. The captains were PFT, Erica Nardini, the CEO, Coach Dougs, the real-life version, and Troops, who's one of the newest guys at Barstool, this British guy who is a huge Arsenal soccer fan.
He's hilarious, dude.
So they were the four captains, and then they picked schoolyard pick a pool of players. It was a mix of celebrities, NWHL players, and Barstool people. And then there was four teams, semifinals, championship, and a skills challenge in between. And Biz and I were on the call for all of it. And then they're going to edit it, put it all together in a few weeks. It'll release in a few weeks a video series of like the whole day. So it was fun.
Do you know anything about hockey?
That was my first time broadcasting any sort of hockey. I've done so many sports, but it was a lot of fun. It's obviously so much faster than any other sport I've done, but I enjoyed it.
You being like the kind of nerd you are, I feel like you had to look at all the hockey lingo. No,
I did way too much prep for it. I was up way too late just looking. I found myself on like the RIT women's hockey roster from 2017 to look up some of these NWHL players who were amazing. Mm. They're so good. They like took over the tournament. But yeah, it was fun.
Definitely a little bit different than calling Jenga.
Yeah, I'd say so. 100%. Sure.
Yeah, sure. Biz was probably pretty good at doing color. I mean, sorry, that's pretty good.
Yep. And if this is coming out Wednesday, I can say that he is going to be on Part of My Take.
So. Oh, no way. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, he's coming in tonight to interview. So he'll be out by then.
But I do want to get into a segment we love to do called the Matzo Ball Minute Questions. First one for you guys. Most underrated player in college football and basketball this season, I should say. Sorry.
I got to be biased.
Yeah.
We expected you to be biased.
Yeah, I mean, as far as college football goes, we got a lot of incredible young talent. You saw it at that Florida game that we were just talking about. It's hard to pick one, though, honestly. All I can really say is just watch out for the Tigers. I mean, we are rebuilding fast, and this season is going to be incredible.
What do you mean rebuilding? You guys won like 2 years ago.
Yeah, but we had all those guys. I mean, you saw the result of last season. We had all these guys leaving. It's kind of been a rebuilding process. Our starting quarterback got injured after the second or third game. We were starting freshmen. We were using two quarterbacks in the game, you know, switching back and forth. So, but this was a huge learning lesson for them, honestly. I feel like this was something that they kind of needed after that incredible, you know, season 2 years ago. And mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be one for the books. So keep your eye out for them.
I feel like not only do you shoot hype videos, you hype me up before the hype video. You're just like, you're like documenting, give me a document of the whole upcoming season. Yeah. Look out for these guys. They're coming for you.
Listen,
it sounds like the preview for one of Drew's, like the guy, one of Drew's videos.
There's going to be a lot of cool things to see, whether it's on the screen or from the football team. Not to toot my own horn, but I'm excited. No, I'm really excited to, because when they play good, I get to make cool stuff. You know what I mean? So everything builds off of each other here.
Good answer. Sure. So we got nobody for football. Nobody.
Yeah.
Jake, could we get a guy? Jake's sitting over there like, are you kidding me?
Don't sleep on LSU.
Yeah, that's all I got. Hey.
So for the Gators, Emory Jones is filling the shoes of Kyle Trask, who's going to be a high draft pick this year. I think he'll do well. Obviously, the bar has been raised because Kyle Trask is the first Gator quarterback that's been good for a while. They had a couple of rough years. So I think Emory Jones will be in a good spot. And then for basketball, it's got to be Ryan Davis, the American East Player of the Year out of Vermont. He's a great player. Unfortunately, their season just ended over the weekend, but he's going to have an unreal senior season, and I think they'll be back in the tournament in 2022.
I saw that one coming.
Also, I do have to add, though, it is tough. Jake knows literally every little thing about any little sport.
No, and I'm about to record the dozen trivia, and I know that the college basketball question is about to be really tough. I'm like nervous. I'm not going to get it.
That's
Jake, I feel like everybody leans on you too. Like there's a lot of pressure on you, especially
I know.
Stats and trivia. So like you're screwed. You know? Yeah. Like, oh, Jake, missed the question. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. The pressure's on for sure.
I love that.
No, I was just going to say this kid knows everything. I mean, it's ridiculous. I admire it. and it honestly intimidates me.
It's also intimidating to us, like, interview you guys. Like, we don't want to say anything because we might look stupid if Jake just this the whole time.
All right, boys, this is a unique one, so think about this for a second. If you could have lived to witness one historic moment in American history, what moment would you pick?
Could be sports related, but like more geared toward like
anything.
Yeah.
I failed my A push exam, so just thinking of any monuments is gonna be tough. But I gotta think about this one. So it has to be before 95.
It doesn't have to be. You can relive something you've experienced.
Oh.
If you want. I mean, I don't know what we've really experienced that's like incredible in American history, but
I don't know.
I'm also not, I didn't even take AP US history, so.
Oh, all right. Maybe retaking my AP US history test so I could pass it.
That's a great moment in American history.
Wow.
Yeah, contradicts itself.
Kind of does, I guess.
I don't know if I can think of a like great moment on the fly, but like I would love to like see like New York City or like IU, like, you know, way back in the day, kind of like what it all looked like. You know, you see pictures of it, but like even everything down to like the way people dress and like the cars driving down the road, like I just feel like that'd be cool to see. I can't think of a specific like moment though.
Are you saying like the Gatsby kind of like that kind of
stuff? Yeah, I mean, even earlier than that, just kind of
no,
like.
No, I don't think I would live in the past because I like wearing a hoodie and joggers. You can't do that in the past. That's true. They didn't have that. They wear a suit everywhere every day. And I know that's ironic because I wear a suit when I'm on camera, but I like the way it is right now. You can wear whatever you want.
Yeah.
That is a good point. I mean, I was thinking you guys would go more toward like the, I mean, I can't think of a football or basketball moment off the top of my head, but I guess like for Jake, I kind of expected you to say the Christian Laettner shot or something.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I got one.
A sports-centered perspective, I would say something like that or any crazy buzzer beater. Like I tweeted the Kemba Walker shot today. Like that would have been sick to be in the Garden for that. The sixth overtime game for Syracuse would have been so cool to be at. So there's definitely games I wish I was at. I'm not a hockey person, obviously, like you guys are, but the Olympics in Lake Placid would have been sick. That's like one of the greatest moments in sports history. So
do you know the year?
No.
No way. We got him. We got him, Drew.
There we go.
Watch that question be one of them.
That's too basic. I really should know that.
U.S. versus the Soviets. Fuck.
It's gonna really bother him. Now he's going to look it up.
Yeah.
No, now thinking back at it, I would 100% go back to the Bob Knight era. Go watch the Hoosiers play that undefeated season in 76. I mean, Jake, you kind of experienced it when Syracuse went to the Final Four of like that just madness on campus. Like,
yeah,
all my friends, we always talk about that, like just what it would be like. Unfortunately, we didn't have that opportunity to even watch the tournament at all. But
I wish,
that
you
would
know what?
Be incredible.
I wish I cherished that more because like I talked about on my first time on your podcast, I was miserable my first 2.5 years at Syracuse. So I was just like, okay, Syracuse in Final Four, cool. But like I could have been so much happier. So yeah. That's definitely something too.
Drew, all my friends in Indiana are like so shocked that Archie hasn't been fired yet.
Listen,
season's not over.
The season is not over at all. We still got the Big Ten tournament.
I guess so. College coaches don't get fired like mid-season, right? That doesn't happen in college.
There's been a few. BC just fired theirs a few weeks ago, but you'll see a lot in the next week, I'd say. But the pandemic season too. They might give him a break.
Yeah. But let's move on to the next question before we get too ahead of ourselves. But a little side note though, Drew, I want to ask you, do you obviously since your brother works for Barstool, I'm assuming you watch like Stool Scenes or you keep up with Barstool, but different podcasts and stuff like that?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I honestly never really got into it until, you know, he was involved in it, but.
So a question for both of you, who is the most annoying personality in your
life? Jake's not going to answer that.
Someone
most annoying person at Barstool?
Yeah. Who irritates you?
You're really trying to get me in trouble here.
I'm just kidding. I was just trying to start some controversy. Who's the most, I guess, funniest personality that works at Barstool that you guys, I guess, just every time you look at this person, you just cry laughing?
I mean, Big Cat and PFT go without saying because I work directly with them. Rico is a lunatic. He does crazy things every single day. Like he'll text our bench mob group chat. And if no one answers within 30 seconds, he'll be like, all right, guess I'll go F myself.
That's how I am.
But like, he's crazy. And he's a lunatic, but it's so funny, the things that come out of his mouth. Roan is really funny too. Caleb and Roan, they're hilarious. Anything they do is very funny. So those are some guys for sure.
I feel like Frank the Tank is just someone that you got to keep an eye and a camera on. I got tickets to Barstool at the park, and part of the reason was to drink a beer with Frank the Tank.
Frank the Tank is a legend. He is very funny as well. So, yeah, I would add him to the list.
That was my pick too, Maxie.
Yeah.
So many characters. I have to say, Jake, I'm surprised you didn't say Nick Tirani. Tirani, how do you say
that? Oh, my God. I forgot about Nick.
Hilarious.
Okay, I snubbed Nick because the hardest I've ever laughed at this company in almost 2 years was in the booth with Nick. He said some words that I won't repeat on here, but you could easily find. In the booth, he was announcing ping pong with me, and I could not hold it in. It was so funny.
Oh, God.
I don't even know who he is, to be honest. I have to.
Oh, my God.
He's so funny.
He's so funny. Yeah, and Caleb and Roan. I would love to get Caleb, you know, if we were all back in school and I was with my buddies at IU, I'd love to have him come and do one of those investigative reports on our friend group. It'd be pretty funny.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got one more for you guys. What city in America, if you've been to this, if you haven't been to this, would you never want to travel to again?
You guys are really coming out.
Yeah, these are like
the brain teasers.
This is hard off the dome.
We probably should give you a heads up maybe then.
Damn.
I'd say anywhere camping or outdoors that I've been. I hate the outdoors. I hate camping. I can't pitch a tent. I can't cook. I smell like crap. So like any dogs. Yeah, like when we in sleepaway camp, when we were counselors, we would have days off and we would camp. And I like wouldn't enjoy days off. Just because of the outdoor side of it. Like, I'd rather just go eat better food, sleep in a bed, be inside, you know?
Everyone's, fuck yeah, it's camping day, baby, let's go.
Yeah, I love camping.
I'm the total opposite. I love it. Same. I love it.
You wouldn't come.
What do you mean? I couldn't go until I was 18.
No, Roger the camp director, gave Drew the green light.
That is
the camp director false. Sounds like a cartoon character.
That is completely false. As soon as I turned 18 and I was allowed to go, I was there. I was there.
We'll have to get Roger the camp director on.
Yeah. Damn, I don't know. I mean, some of these places, kind of like middle of nowhere places I've been to on road games, like Arkansas, like Fayetteville, Arkansas. Like
what about the Must Bus?
Yeah, the Must Bus is a legend. He's a great guy.
What's that?
And they got
Eric Musselman, the head coach of Arkansas basketball. He came on Bench Mob and he came on PMT last week. He's one of the most electric coaches in the sport.
Oh, he's incredible.
And they have
that. Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever. Aside from, but I'm not talking about the Must Bus. I'm not talking about Arkansas basketball. I'm talking about Fayetteville. Like, I just never see myself going there. But also, they got he's been balling out. Justin Smith, IU grad transfer on the Must Bus. So,
I was going to say, low-key people shit on, like, Gainesville. But I think Gainesville is kind of nice.
What? I guess we're a little biased.
People say Gainesville is, like, a shithole.
I'm going to back up Drew here because I have a buddy that plays for a hockey team in Fayetteville. Fayetteville Marksman. And he absolutely hates the whole entire town and ever again. So, I got your back.
So, Drew, this one's for you specifically because we already had Jake on. We've already asked him this question. But if you can go back and talk to the 15-year-old version of yourself, what kind of advice would you give him?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Man, I would just say just keep doing you and, like, not, you know, I think that's something I've accomplished and have been trying to do. But just kind of not listen to what other people think and not being scared to, like, do what you want to do. Just being confident and just doing what you love to do and just keep being yourself. That's all I'd really say.
I was going to say, you've definitely chosen a different path probably from most of your friends. I mean, you're in Louisiana right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely been, it still has been a culture shock to me. You know, growing up in South Florida, going to school in Bloomington, coming here has been very, very different. And especially during a pandemic, it made it so much harder. But at the end of the day, I know it's something that you need to do. You need to step outside your comfort zone every now and then, because how else do you grow? And that's another something I would say is just, you know, it's okay to be uncomfortable, because Jake, you know, even Jake dealt with that. Jake had the choice to, you know, he was uncomfortable at Syracuse, but he knew it was right for him to be there, and look where he is now. So sometimes when things don't sit right in your stomach in the beginning, it ends up being the right move. So
what's the process?
Yeah, it's part of the process, and I'm super happy to be here. It's been an awesome gig so far. Mm-hmm.
And something that we are curious for the both of you. It's always a tough question to ask, but I guess what is like the Jewish community as a whole, and just growing up, you know, in some sort of like close, tight knit community that you guys grew up in to now where you're at now. What does that Jewish community like mean to you, and how much has it impacted your life, like to where you are now?
I know all the great deli spots here in the city. So that's one thing. Another is, they're not really religious, but it is cool knowing Dave and Big Cat are members of the tribes too, right? They're the two biggest guys here at the company. So knowing that we had a similar upbringing on that end, like I said, I don't think they're the most religious people, but that's cool. And then just having friends up here, whether it's a mix of school or home or camp, that's all because of the Jewish community. So that is all really cool, and it's all come together here in the city.
What about you? Yeah, honestly, you got any camp friends in Louisiana?
That's what I was about to say. I have to be one of you. I could probably count all the Jews in
Coach O is actually half Jewish.
Really?
Oh, shit, really?
No. Did not even. I was going to say.
Jesus, Jake, don't tease us.
Oh my God! Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, being here has made me appreciate it even more, because obviously, as you can imagine, there's not a lot here, but going to school at Indiana, like playing Jewish geography, you know, from camp friends, this and that, like it is awesome to see. Like even going through like your guys' page, like, and I'll click on some things and see like some people that I know that follow you guys, and then people that follow them that I know. It's like such a crazy community, and it's always a fun game to play. Love it.
It's cool now that we've like kind of grown a lot, especially Jake, since we had you last on. Like you were probably our like around 10th episode or whatever, but it was when we just started. But now like seeing your friends come to our, like, it's cool just to see how everything does tie together. And like we posted a story of you guys, and like three kids that I knew replied that they knew Drew, and it was like kind of cool just to see that kind of come together, which didn't happen when we had Jake on originally, you know. It was mm-hmm. definitely pretty cool.
Yeah, it's sick. You guys are doing great things. You guys have had big names on.
It's huge.
Especially in the entertainment world, the sports media world. Like Adam Schefter was my mentor, not mentor. He was like my idol growing up. I would email him, and you guys have been killing it, getting big names. Seth Greenberg, Seth Davis, they're obviously gearing up for the biggest, best time of year right now. So
Doug Ellen.
Yeah, Doug Ellen.
Entourage fan.
All right, well, this is going to be our soundbite. You guys just like pumping our tires. No, thank you guys. Actually, it was cool too. And Jake, when you started Barstool Bench Mob, it was cool that like you like reached out for like us. Like, for
yeah.
Like, I was like, whoa, that's pretty sick. Like,
right. No, 100%. Hopefully next season we can get John Shire on. That would be really cool. Things slow down for the season, because obviously Rico and Marty are diehard Duke fans. They would appreciate that. So yeah, I like how we've been able to help out each other over the last year.
Yeah, Marty needs to calm down with his Duke picks over there. Jesus.
Yeah.
Also, I Sense Sports. I was a big Sense Sports guy.
It was fun.
I was on the phone, but I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, it was really cool. Then,
like you guys, I was never able to cash out. It's tough.
Yeah.
So I was really close to cashing out once. I would have gotten to $20. I took the Magic money line, and then LeBron hit that buzzer beater.
No way.
In the Eastern Conference Finals. You remember that game in like 2009? Yeah. I would have cashed out, and I took the Magic, and they broke my heart.
As if you got coworkers who are betting tens of thousands of dollars. Yeah. You were probably so heated that you didn't get to that $20 mark.
Yeah.
That was my first ever bad beat.
Incredible.
My first ever bad beat.
Yeah. That's Magic awesome. Money line game two of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Probably a good bet, honestly.
Yeah.
Obviously not, though.
Oh, well. Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
All right, boys.
I would have bet if I was 10 years old betting.
Yeah.
But we really do appreciate this, guys. This was unbelievable. I mean, to get both of you guys on for sure. Obviously, the Jewish geography, I love it. And we'll look for the three-peat soon, right? Or are we going to get the other Marsh siblings on? I don't know.
Two of them. We can take the next month.
Yeah.
What was it, Janie and Alec?
Yeah.
But he goes by Shorty.
Shorty.
That was his nickname growing up. He's Shorty. He's not Alec. He's Shorty.
We'll plug that nickname right there real quick. Yeah, no, thank you, guys. Like, seriously, perfect. You guys are awesome. It's cool to call you guys friends now.
Yeah, yeah, thank you awesome. Guys. Keep killing it.
Thanks again. You guys are awesome.
Later. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. We hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Jake and Drew. So happy we got to have Drew on. Obviously, nobody cares about Jake. No, I'm just kidding. But we already had Jake on, and it was really great to get him back and hear all the new things that he's got going on at Barstool, as well as all the shit that Drew's got going on at LSU. So it was a great interview.
I love the family banter. Now we got Janie and Alec going at it in the comments. So we got some good Marsh family banter going on. Yes, obviously super thankful to have them on again, or I guess Drew for the first time. But I feel like we honestly become friends with them. Like it's cool to have, you know, a relationship with two other guys that are like in our circle that are involved in the sports world. I mean, definitely really cool for us. And we're super appreciative that they've taken the time to, you know, help us out and follow us.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was nice to chirp them a little bit, get some dirt on them from Carly, their cousin. What do you got? What were you swinging around over there? I saw something jump in the camera over there. What do you got?
Oh, this is just actually funny to say. I'm going to take a quick word from a sponsor. This is the new Mindset Wellness Recharge Muscle Recovery Stick. So honestly, Max and I played golf today, like we talked about, but I'm going to feel pretty sore tomorrow because we walked 11 holes. We didn't have the golf cart, so my legs were toast, like literally carrying the bag. Definitely a good workout. I was actually sweating my ass off. It was pretty warm in New York today. But Mindset Wellness, our amazing sponsor, we love them. They're a brand new CBD full spectrum company infused with terpenes and vitamins that can provide all natural anxiety relief. They have several different mindsets, including happy, calm, focus, health, beauty, and rest, which are meant to be taken together to customize your mindset. So go to mindsetwellnesscbd.com and use code LOCKA10 for 10% off your order plus free shipping. And check them out on Instagram at mindsetwellnesscbd. We love them. Cannot say enough good things about them. And Cappy, good eye. Because I'm happy you saw the recharge.
I did. I saw the lightning bolt. I was like, whoa, it stood out.
It's honestly great. No, I talk about it a lot on here, but I was never a huge CBD guy. But I mean, since we've had Mindset, like I'm not just saying this because it's a sponsor, but I fucking love their stuff. It's awesome.
Sore groins all the time because I'm 75 years old, but it works like magic. So
we all know you have very sore muscles always, Cap.
Yeah, I'm strong like bull. No, I'm just kidding. Sore fat, not sore muscles.
I think that wraps it up for this episode, though, if you got any final thoughts.
No, that's it. We hope you guys enjoyed listening to this interview. Have a great weekend, and stay in touch. Stay tuned for more Locker Room. Stay in touch.
Stay in touch. All right. Later, guys. Cool. Later.